Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hour number three of the program happening right now. I have not looked at the text message line in the last two segments. We'll get to that in the next one. But let's jump out to the D&M Leasing Hotline. Welcome to the program. He's a fan legend. You can catch him every Saturday on Fan University. I mean, he carries that show. Let's call it what it is. I mean, we're just saying the quiet part out loud. The one, the only, Mr. Carter Freeman. Carter, did you get a run in today? That's the real question.
I did not. The weather stopped me from running, but it has not stopped me from watching a dude whose name is Lunch Winfield take the ball for, Louisiana now? They're not Louisiana Lafayette. They're playing Arkansas State right now. I'm doing my research for FanU on Saturday, but Louisiana's quarterback's name is Lunch Winfield. I just thought you guys should know that.
A little behind the scenes. Pull the curtain back for us, Carter. People just learning more about the show. Best part about working with Reitma and Baxter and the whole show in general, and the hardest part about working with that show?
I mean, the hardest part is just trying to keep up, because we're three ball knowers and we're always just trying to bring you the best knowledge that we can, right? But like, for real, like, the three of us care about the show, the product. Like, we're texting daily about what we can do to improve it, guests we can get, things we can cover. Like, it's an all in affair. You know, if the Cowboys aren't going to be all in, as Jerry says they are, then Fan University 100% is.
That's what I love to hear. That's what makes that show so great. And I'm a fan as well.
Are you a university?
What's that?
Are you a university? Because you said you're a fan as well.
I am a fan of Fan
U. I'll be the university. You can be the
fan. I'll be the fan. Okay. All right. That being said, any surprises for you when the college football rankings were released on Tuesday?
I don't know if there were any surprises, but I think the most interesting thing to me was that Texas fell to 17. They fell pretty far away from the threshold to make the CFP, right? Because they picked up their third loss, losing to Georgia. And if they beat A&M to end the season, the conversation will change. But as of right now, that's the committee saying no three-loss teams are going to make the college football playoff, because Miami's in front of them. There are other ACC, other Big 12 teams in front of them. And the talk is that could a three-loss SEC team ever make the CFP? I think this year they're telling you that's not going to happen based on how they dropped them seven spots. I mean, they were 10, and then they just did not look competitive for a lot of that game against Georgia, dropped them way out of the threshold area. So surprising, nothing too much. Well, you know, I'll give you this. Alabama falling behind Notre Dame, that was surprising to me.
Okay. I didn't know if you were going to go more on that. I'm going to push back on the Texas part of disagreeing with the CFP, because you're traveling. Now, I'm obviously biased. You're traveling to a Georgia team on the road. You're not favored to win, and you lose to one of the best teams in the country in a road night game. Like, and I would say they didn't look uncompetitive for the whole game. It was the late onside kick that turned the tide, and then they scored 21 unanswered. They couldn't do anything there, and they looked uncompetitive in that fourth quarter, especially late. But I mean, Texas still held their own for three quarters, and it was a one score game. So I don't know. I agree with you, Carter. I don't know if I'd have dropped them seven spots to lose to a Georgia team on the road when you're not favored to win. But I understand the whole three losses dropping them and whatnot. But I feel like right now they're getting punished for putting Ohio State on their schedule, which they didn't have to do. So if they'd have put Northeastern, Iowa, Wyoming of Kevin Walker, and they'd have beat them in week one, then would we have weighted it the same? Like, I feel like that loss to Ohio State's really hurting them when they ended up having just a tougher schedule. So I don't agree with everything that's going on with the college football playoffs right now with that. I agree with your sentiment about Alabama. I think they're better than Notre Dame. I think they're fool's gold, and I don't believe in them. But I do have a question for you. We've been having some chatter back and forth about the college coaches and coaches moving around. And I kind of interrupted Fred about Lane Kiffin and Sark and all these job openings. And I said, I'm just tired of the chatter about all these coaches leaving and going to this place. And as soon as there's a new head coaching place, Lane Kiffin wants to leave. Sark wants to leave as soon as this one rumor or thing comes out. So I'm tired of the chatter. I said, I think Lane and Sark will both be at the jobs they're at right now, a year from now. Am I wrong?
I think Lane Kiffin's going to stay at Ole Miss. Ever since these jobs started to open, that's been my stance. And I think Lane likes to play games, and he's definitely left this open, right? Because you've seen guys like Mike Elko at A&M sign an extension, Rhett Lashley locally at SMU sign an extension saying, I'm not going anywhere. Well, Kiffin has definitely left the door open, and it seems like he's flirting to some degree with LSU and with Florida. But my stance has always been everything he'd have to do at those schools, he's already done at Ole Miss. He'd have to spend years building them into a consistent contender, which neither of them have really proven. LSU has high highs, but there's no consistency there. And I just think at Ole Miss, he's done that. And I don't know why you'd want to leave unless you just want to prove that you can turn those schools into that. And that just seems like it's a whole can of worms I wouldn't want to open. And the Sark stuff, it is weird that it keeps coming up. Because he keeps talking about how, I want to win championships here. I want to do this, all this at Texas. But those rumors don't go away. And that, do I think he's going to leave this year? No, I really don't. Do I think he could leave eventually? Yeah, because he shuts these things down, but they don't. It's like they put the top on the jar, and it just keeps popping back open with these things coming out. And I get you on the coaching things being tiring. Like, there are still games to be played. We haven't even gotten to the end of the regular season. So naturally it is tiring. And I'll say this season, there's been more big jobs that are open, like LSU and Auburn, like more SEC and Big Ten jobs are coming open, right? So that's probably why it's more at the forefront, because last year we really didn't see that. It was really just Belichick at North Carolina was the only one that, you know, made any headlines, and that hasn't worked out whatsoever. But it can be definitely annoying to just be bombarded with it. But I will say the James Franklin hire at Virginia Tech, that's going to be a good move. Maybe not a championship move, but if Virginia Tech just establishes some baseline of consistency, I think he's the guy to do that.
Well, not to mention, too, I mean, look, Virginia Tech's won before. I mean, granted, it's been a while, but and look, we know what they might do. Look, we know James Franklin can recruit, all right? Yeah, maybe he's going to spit the bit in a big game, but at the very least, he will put the talent on the field. That said, and that's a great segue, you know, it seems like he was fired, you know, three seasons ago, the way college football moves. How much has the, kind of importance and or excitement around the Penn State job been usurped now that you've got LSU and Florida trying to figure out who their next coach is going to be?
You really have kind of forgotten that it's open, right? Because the Penn State, they actually just won their first Big Ten game. They were, I believe, 0-6 in conference up until they beat another 0-6 team in the Big Ten, Michigan State, last week. But it is still a great job. The thing is, like, a lot of the guys who had been linked to it, like Matt Rhule and maybe even Mike Elko, they've all signed extensions at their spot. So they're the one job where I'm like, someone's going to take it and they're going to do good with it. But I still don't know who.
Yeah.
Like, they're ready to win now. You don't need to go to Penn State and build them up. They're ready for a coach to go in there and just say, okay, it's time to win top five games. It's time to win the Big Ten. It's time to go to national championship games. Stuff like that. And at this point, I don't know who that is. Elko would have been a great fit, but I love that he's staying at A&M instead. Like, I look at a guy like Matt Campbell at Iowa State, and I'm like, he's done a lot with a little for a long time, but I feel like he could do a lot with a lot if he goes to Penn State and has resources there. But he's not a sexy name anymore.
No.
He was a sexy name like 5 years ago. So the new guy at Penn State, whoever that ends up being, will have success, but like, are you going to get a huge upgrade over James Franklin? It's kind of hard to say, because with all the open jobs, like, the the talent level at the top is just going to be thin, right? Thinner than it normally would be.
You mentioned Texas A&M, and I do think Matt Campbell, and like you said, he was a sexy pick. It seemed like he was up for every job 2 or 3 years ago, and Iowa State's kind of fallen on hard times. Although they still keep putting guys in the NFL. Like, I think that's the one thing about Matt Campbell that I don't know that he gets near enough credit for, is the fact that he continues to put out NFL talent from Iowa State. And like you said, I think he would be a great hire over at Penn State. All that said, you mentioned Mike Elko at Texas A&M. Are you surprised, and Blake and I were just talking about this the other day, how you've got Texas A&M, all right? So it's not like this is UTEP. It's not like this is UTSA. It's not like this is, you know, no disrespect, you know, North Texas. But you've got a dye-in-the-wool SEC power from a, you know, financial standpoint anyway. And Texas A&M, they're 10-0. This is the best run they've had since the Manziel days. Why are we not hearing more about Texas A&M?
I mean, what more do you want to hear? That would be my rebuttal, because, I mean, they're number 3 in the country. They're pretty much week in and week out. We're talking about Marcel Reed and how awesome their defense is. Like, is it because, like, the Ohio State and Indiana are 1-2 right now? Like, are you saying maybe Texas A&M should
like
be ranked even higher?
I just feel like, we talk more about UT. I mean, we hear more about UT than we do about Texas A&M. I mean, I feel like just for being an SEC school and being Texas A&M, I just feel like it being 10-0, I don't, I'm not near as ingrained in college football as you guys are, but I just feel like as a casual fan of college football and knowing not enough to be dangerous, I just feel like for whatever reason, there's still something about A&M that we're just not as excited about, and like we're kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. Is that part of it?
Sure. That's a big, battered Aggie syndrome is a phrase for a reason, because they expect the Florida, you're the rug to be pulled out from under them at any given point. And to me, that was against South Carolina when you spot them 27 points and you still manage, or 27 point lead, and you still manage to come back and win. That's where I'm like, okay, these are not our parents' Aggies. Like, this team is different, the way that they go about their business and do things. So, a lot of the talk has been, especially during that South Carolina game, was, okay, A&M has played, if you draw a line in the SEC standings midway through, I think they've played 7 of the 8 teams that are in the bottom half of the SEC rankings right now, and they can't control that. They can only play who they played, and A&M has beaten the crap out of most of those teams. So, look, if you think they're not getting talked about enough, if you think Texas or Alabama or Georgia or Ole Miss are getting more talk right now, 2 weeks, A&M goes to Austin on Friday night, and they have a chance to. I've said this all year, this is a monkey off the back season for them. A huge monkey on their back get the monkey off their back would be to beat Texas, especially on the road after they went into your place last year, beat you there. Then after that, you're going to play one of the traditional SEC powers in the SEC title game. You win that, you could be the number 1 seed in the CFP. So I guess if you're thinking they're not getting enough love, they've got the chances in these next couple weeks to say, hey, you know we're awesome, but we're really awesome.
Carter, give me the preview for this weekend of college football. Obviously, it's paramount for a lot of these teams in the top 25 and the teams on the edge to win, but what are some matchups specifically that you could see some big movement happening?
Well, Oregon, USC is the big one. That's one of 2 ranked matchups. You have OU and Mizzou, which, you know, OU gets the big win over Alabama last week, but Mizzou is no pushover. They're 7-3, and they're, I think, 22 in this week's CFP poll. And then they get LSU after that. But OU gets both those games at home. They are, if they control their own destiny, if they win out, they'll be in the CFP. But the Oregon-USC game, that one's fascinating. That's more or less an eliminator game. If USC goes on the road and beats Oregon, they'll most likely finish 10-2, and you'd have a really hard time leaving them out. And for Oregon, if they lose that game, they could finish 10-2, but they don't really have a marquee win. Like, their best win at that point, we thought it would be Penn State. Well, Penn State's fallen off quite a bit. Right now, it's looking like Iowa would be their best win, and Iowa's not ranked right now. I think Iowa has 4 losses. So if Oregon loses to USC, especially at home, when they've already lost to Indiana at home, they don't have a whole lot to stand on. And if they were to be in that range with Texas, if they end up at 9-3 and beat A&M, or Miami 10-2 in the ACC, but doesn't make the ACC title game, that's when things get murky. that's when that number, that's when that 10 or 11 spot is going to be really like, okay, who really deserves this? And like, I know you said that you think they're getting punished, Texas is, for playing Ohio State. I think it's the opposite, because you go on the road and that's Ohio State's closest win this season. I know they lost that game, but this year, especially, the committee is rewarding a lot of losses more than they are wins. It seems like that's why Notre Dame is in front of Alabama right now, is because they have two better losses than Alabama's two losses, which is dumb because Alabama's beaten two teams that are, you know, a lot of teams that are better than anything Notre Dame's beaten. But the USC-Oregon matchup is 100% the biggest one of the weekend, and that's where game day is going to be. And Lincoln Riley hasn't really proven he can go on the road and win in the Big Ten yet. So talk about monkeys off your back. This is another chance for him to do that. Now, he hasn't done it yet, so I have a hard time believing he's going to do it here. But if he does, then that's how things could really get swapped up in the CFP next week.
It's okay. I'm just coping. Texas shouldn't have lost to Florida, and it wouldn't have mattered. But I'd be remiss. You got me and Kevin Walker in here. UNT, not ranked in the college football playoffs, but I'm going to take our win where we can get it in the AP poll the day before. Raj Murty's 24 years old, from Arlington Martin, general manager over there. Drew Messermaker's a Heisman candidate. How, like, inspiring is this story, and seeing a small school with under a $2 million NIL budget making a real run at the college football playoffs?
It's awesome, and you got to enjoy it while it happens, because you don't know how the roster could change, how the coaching staff could change, but I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on how fun they are to watch, how Carter Hawkins is a true freshman running back, and he looks like a top 10 back in the country, the way he plays in that Eric Morris offense. We've talked to Eric Morris on Fan University. We've talked to Drew Messermaker on Fan University. Like, they have a ton of fun doing what they do, and they do it really well. So like you said, they're not in the CFP poll, but UNT plays at Rice this weekend, which Rice is giving away free beer at their game this weekend. That might be the only thing that stands in the way of UNT beating Rice, is the amount of free booze that's going to be flowing at Rice Stadium. They get Rice and they get Temple, who are not two of the, you know, bottom half teams in the American. So you keep doing your thing. If you're UNT, you keep winning big, you're going to end up ranked. And that's the big thing in the American, is to make the conference title game. If you're ranked in the second to last CFP poll, you're automatically in that game, because the American wants they want the publicity. They want the teams that are ranked to be playing in that. So Tulane's ahead of you right now. So you might play on the road at Tulane. But if you make that game with one conference loss and you beat Tulane, you're going to the CFP.
Talk to him, Carter Freeman. You heard it there from Fan University. Carter Freeman speaking the gospel. Carter, it was a pleasure having you on. We look forward to hearing you on Saturday continuing the Fan University knowledge. What time? What time on Saturday are you on? I think that's what Fred's
asking. We're on 9 to noon this Saturday. We're going to have a USC guest on. We're going to get the Trojan side of things, and then all the staples, Carter's Corner, Baxter Class, Jake's Take, Sights and Sounds, all the Fan University stuff you love. It is this Saturday, 9 to noon. And in the meantime, I'm going to see if Lunch Winfield can lead the Raging Cajuns to a win. Bye, guys.
Having a Trojan on deck is always a smart deal. See you, Carter Freeman. There he goes. On the other side, what are we doing, Fred? What's coming up next, huh?
Great question. What is coming up on the other side? Let's play a little audio. We got some NFL. We got some NBA to get into. Don't you go anywhere. He's Blake. I'm Fred. This is Fan After Dark.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
What a read.
We call that the best in the business. 11/29 birthday dub coming from the 214.
That's our boy Garrison, a.k.a. Chris. Big time fatty, big time Tolo. All around good dude. And certainly appreciate him chiming in. He's a big Aggie as well. He'd been hankering for us to show some Aggie love here on the program. And thus, today we did.
Someone told me to give you a bell.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you're not allowed to get a bell. What am I doing? No bells for you.
Not until the Chiefs mop up the Colts. I'll tell you what.
So when they lose, how long do you lose the bell if they lose?
It's not going to happen.
I know.
It's not going to happen. I'm not even entertaining it.
Go ahead and get the marks ready, Kevin.
Mark it. 9:25 on Thursday. Mark it. So you guys know I'm on Chiefs Twitter, and somebody said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel about the Chiefs winning on Sunday?
I mean, I guess everyone said 100%.
I don't know what everybody else said. I just know I said 10.
Is Chiefs Twitter okay?
It's awful.
I feel like they're, like, it's a bunch down of, horrendous.
It's a bunch of new fans that are idiots and, you know.
Don't know the quarterback before Patrick Mahomes.
They don't know the pain that comes with being a Chiefs fan. It's much like being a Cowboys fan right now. It's hard in them streets being a Cowboys fan. I'll tell you what, I saw a dude in the Walmart today. My man was draped up, dripped out, Cowboys gear from head to toe. And I wanted to, you know, I mean, I was in a hurry, so I didn't say anything to him, but that is one thing I will say about Cowboy fans. I mean, your team's 4-5-1 right now. You've beat four of the worst teams in the NFL. And my man on a Thursday at the Walmart in Louisville, draped up, dripped out.
Probably got the sneakers on too.
He did have some beat up Jordans on.
Well, I was saying like some Dallas Cowboys sneakers.
They were Jordans that looked like Jordan had worn when he played.
Texans are up 20-16 on the Bills still.
We'd love to know, but apparently the HDMI cord that we have is faulty. What do we order this on Amazon? What the hell's going on here? I just want to see the game.
I know.
I'll bring my
apparently a referee just tore his Achilles.
Wow.
Allegedly.
Was that AD?
Allegedly.
Is AD officiating the Texans game?
Who do you think
it's not a Green Bay Packers game.
Who do you think is the leading receiver for the Bills? Hopefully Josh Allen, 12 of 17 for 106 yards.
I'm going to say number 26, Johnson.
No.
Okay.
He's got 34 yards. Actually, it is Johnson. You're right. He's got 36 receiving yards.
Go ahead and ring the bell for me. Nope. Go ahead and ring the bell. Ring the bell for me. That's a bell ring.
No, it is not.
That's absolutely a bell. I got it right.
I don't think.
That's how the game works.
I don't think either of y'all were listening when I said Fred doesn't get a bell ring until the Chiefs win. I got my own bell over here.
That's a bell ring. It's not anything. I got the answer right.
Nope, no bell ring. You get no validation until the Chiefs win.
I'm about to ring your bell.
You can get a synthetic bell from Kevin. How does that feel? Synthetic bell. AI bell.
It's an AI bell. You got any other questions? You got any other questions you want to ask that
who's
get right?
Who's leading Houston in receiving? Davis Mills, 12 of 23, 121 yards.
What do you need to hit for your parlay?
210.
What? How far are we?
6 minutes off in a third.
Okay, there's still some time left. I'm going to go with Dalton Schultz.
Incorrect. Dalton Schultz has 8 yards.
So definitely not him. Nope. Nico.
Nico has 55 yards. He would be the correct answer.
Okay.
Is he
that
so
bell
hurt?
Ring was for myself.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, that was for me.
It was for Nico because he's going off my parlay. So it was for myself.
I think Nico got hurt, by the way.
What? Mm-hmm. Take that bell ring back.
He hasn't played since the second quarter.
Great. So. I've got him on my fantasy team. That's terrible.
What'd you need him to get?
5 catches.
How many does he have?
3.
Be like that.
Damn, that's tough.
Speaking of catches and it being like that, A.J. Brown has been chirping. Yeah, he's been letting it sing. If you guys missed it, this was A.J. Brown had a little scrum around his locker room, and these are some of the quotes. When asked about the speculation that he's not the same player that he was prior, A.J., why are you not getting 100 targets? Why are you not catching 100 balls? Why are you not scoring all these touchdowns? He said in response, I guess Saquon ain't the same player either.
A.J. Brown doesn't care.
He clarified that he thinks both of them are still good.
Yeah.
But the fact that it even comes out of your mouth, they're like, kind of indirectly but directly throw your teammate and be like,
I mean, you seen his numbers, right?
Why don't y'all at his locker ask him how bad he is? I'm AJ Brown. Y'all just can't stop coming up to me.
I got to get the ball thrown to me. They hand him the ball. Okay, so what are we talking about here?
AJ Brown was asked about watching other receivers around the league. He said, I don't do that. It gets me upset. These are real quotes.
I'll tell you what, if the Cowboys don't put belt to ass to the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday.
They won't, but they maybe put belt to ass to A.J. Brown. They're not going to put belt to ass to the whole team.
I would love to see it. I would. This team is scuffling right now.
They are. They keep winning, though. That's the sad. Like, well, you think all these reports are coming out and they're on a five-game losing streak.
But here's the difference.
They keep winning.
Well, but you're not wrong at all about that. But Brooks Kabina, who's going to be on our show but was on GBAC instead, I thought he made a great point. The difference with this team this year, because last year we didn't have all this chirping. Last year we didn't have, you know, strife within the team.
What are you talking about?
The Eagles, right? We didn't have this last year.
It was not that. It wasn't last year, but was it the year before?
No, but that. Well, that, well can
okay.
I, can
sorry,
I,
sorry.
There you go. There you go. There you go. You had this. You had. But to Blake's point, you had this strife 2 years ago, right? But here's the difference, as Brooks Kabina pointed out. The defense was awful, too.
Was awful that year.
2 years ago. The defense, like 2 years ago, you were bringing in Matt Patricia.
Oh, their defense was really
bad. Oh, dude, they
went
through like three D coordinators that year.
Time flies.
They were bad.
That was bad. Like,
they were bad.
Everybody was getting them.
Then they bring in Vic Fangio.
And they have been phenomenal the last 2 years.
I mean, hottest NFL guy in the NFL.
They went from worst to best. Because remember, everyone was, and they dropped Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, bring in some guys. They look phenomenal. And then again, this year, they look good on defense.
Well, you've got a front office that's not afraid to make trades and not afraid to be aggressive.
Jalen Phillips, who's been a great acquisition.
Tell you what, now that said, I mean, obviously the Cowboys are feeling pretty good about Quinnen Williams and Logan Wilson so far. But point in all that is, and I don't know that this point's been made enough.
Well, you make it then.
I'm going to make it right now.
Oh, listen up, Eagles Twitter.
Well, no. It's actually kind of defending them in a way.
Uh-oh.
We overlooked the fact that they've had, think about how much we've talked about how the Cowboys have had, what, three D coordinators in 3 years and how much of a pain it's been to try to get everybody on the same page.
The Eagles have had that on offense and defense every year.
Try 4 years.
Yeah, they've had that on both sides.
So you've had
them and the Bucks.
Well, you've had now with Fangio, you've had him now 2 years in a row.
Correct.
Right? So, and you can tell, right? But again, I feel like with defense, though, you can see quicker returns on the defensive side of the ball with a good D coordinator, right? And especially when you got good personnel on that side of the ball as well, which obviously the Eagles do, right? And so, and again, as you alluded to, Jalen Phillips comes in, picks up where he left off from back in the day. And so that's been the difference from this year versus 2 years ago where, okay, your offense isn't great, but yet your defense has been one of the best in the National Football League. You've got dogs at literally every level. So that helps and offsets the fact that your offense has been an absolute tram-sham-ockery. And I think it also, look, I'm a Nick Sirianni guy. I love the fact that he's a meathead. And I don't know that I don't think that guy gets near enough credit for how many wins that guy gets, right? I mean, all this guy's done is take him to two Super Bowls in the last 3 years. And yet he's perpetually on the hot seat for whatever reason. That said, though, for being an offensive-minded guy, the fact that he's so reliant on his offensive coordinator and that we don't even really think about Nick Sirianni in an offensive from an offensive standpoint. Because you would think if he, you know, like the Chiefs, just for example, with Andy Reid, or hell, can you name one OC from the Rams?
No. The tight end coach got hired out, remember?
That was my guy. You were big on that. But you know why we don't worry about it? Because you got Sean McVay.
But he's calling the plays. I don't think Sirianni's calling the plays.
But that's my point.
Yeah.
But for being, because look, he was.
Everyone's blaming Kevin Petula.
He was the, but that's what I'm saying. He was the OC in Indianapolis before he got that job in Philadelphia. So
that moves quickly.
I'm just saying, I'm just a bit flummoxed by the fact that.
And the Eagles offense last year was great, but then it goes through like years where the offense is all over the place. Last year it was legendary. Saquon had like a 1,000-yard game. It felt like every game, breaking off runs. And this year it's been lackluster, so people aren't holding him in high regards. Speaking of the guy that would be behind the high-powered offense, Jalen Hurts. All he's been asked about is A.J. Brown, and of course his leadership
and your
skills.
Offense sucks.
Let's hear what Jalen Hurts had to say about all of the reports coming out about the Eagles.
I'm not surprised. Not surprised by anything. I mean, you know, this is kind of the nature of the position, like I said. But, you know, I put my energy and I put my focus on trying to go out there and do my best and go to work every day and continue to go out there and try and do my best. I guess I get a lot of attention when things are going well and when things are not going so well. And so I never run away from holding myself accountable. And I think, you know, I think that's exactly what I've taken the approach of doing. You know, when I look at this last game, you know, I take great pride in what we do on offense. I take great pride in how we go out there and play as a team and what our flow is. And so, you know, we obviously got work to do, and I think that obviously starts with me. That's always my approach. That's always me looking internally first in everything that we do. And then in due time, rising above. It's about coming in here and working and leading and bringing good energy and going out there and showing about how you work. You know, at the end of the day, we come out here we are here to play as a team and to play together and go out there and find ways to win. And so that's where we all have our focus at.
So those things haven't been brought to you directly?
I don't want to get into that. I know it hasn't, though.
How about you personally?
Y'all bring it to me. I mean, you know, I think it's a bit of a different thing. Again, I don't want to get into the weeds of anything. Ultimately, it comes with the nature of it. You know, everybody's going to have an opinion, and I give a lot of respect to those things. Ultimately, you know, we're all here to do the same thing. And so it's about the pursuit of that, you know, and I've always encouraged trying to work together to achieve that. I think for us, we just got to be committed to the same thing. Everybody's got to be on the same page, and we have to, you know, set a definite vision of what things need to be, what they are, and then we pursue that, and then we grow and expound on that week after week. It's, you know, fluctuating in our approach a bit, but we find ways to win. And in hindsight, that's why you play the game, but you have to play it with a bit of a presence, you know, an identity.
That was probably the longest we've heard Jalen Hurts talk, and that was probably the least amount of quotables. Like, you know, usually Jalen's like quick 1, 2, 3. That's where resilience is found in the heart in dark times, and does a little quote. That was full on, just kind of Jalen, kind of just opening up his heart. Did you learn anything from that, or did you read into anything?
No, not really. I mean, we know Jalen Hurts is you love him as a competitor. He's not a great thrower of the football. And I think that's what the issue is.
Just took away from his presser. He's not going to quarterback.
I mean, there's nothing he's going to.
I would say more off the field stuff, just kind of his answers, not him on the field.
I mean, I don't. He gives you nothing.
Okay. Well, here's Nick Sirianni. Let's see if he gives you anything more.
Yeah. You know, again, when there's not a
wait, pause it real quick. This was him. He was asked about, are you frustrated that members of your team and of personnel are leaking stuff to the media, the different reports keep coming out about your locker room, pretty much. And this is him responding to that.
Yeah, you know, again, when there's not a name on it, I don't put a lot of credence into that. And, you know, obviously it's not good for me to read anything. I got to prepare to do my job, right? And if I'm thinking about other things, like, and so – now, when Bob preps me for it, I don't necessarily believe everything that's been being written. I just don't. And I've been around long enough to know that. So I don't give it a lot of credence when there's not a name. And again, just don't fall into the trap of believing everything you see or read.
Your thoughts on Sirianni? I mean, the reason I play this is because it's not like these reports are going to come out and say Jake Elliott said this about the team. It's always going to be anonymous. That's what happens. He's like, I don't believe it if there's not a name on it. It's like, well, then you're probably never going to believe anything. They're not going to put a name on it. That's the whole point of these reports, is anonymous player from the locker room, anonymous front office member.
He's got to try to dismiss it. I mean, look, he's still the head coach of the football team, and there's got to be some frustration because you don't know where it's coming from.
And it
right?
keeps
I
coming.
Mean,
We're different
and,
day.
And it keeps coming. I mean, that's the irritant in all of it is like, look, we're 8-2, 9-2, whatever the Philadelphia Eagles are. I mean, we're one of the best teams in football. We're the defending Super Bowl champions. We've been one of the best teams in the NFL for the last half decade, and yet you would think they were the Jets.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that would be my frustration. I'll be honest with you, I'm surprised they didn't move A.J. Brown at the deadline, because it's starting to be addition by subtraction with him, yeah. Right? I mean, look, we all know. I mean, look, is A.J. Brown the best wide receiver in football?
It's just not a fit.
When he's on? I mean, look, he had a great first 2 years there. I mean, we forget he had 1,500-yard seasons his first 2 years.
Right now, how they're trying to play football is just not a fit.
It's just, and you,
him and Jalen Hurts aren't on the same page. Even when they force feed him, it just doesn't look smooth.
There's nothing natural about it. And I don't know that, and this is the thing I was talking about with Sirianni that I can't quite, I don't understand why there's no consistency from year to year. Like every year it's a different, like, well, okay, we're going to be more conservative. We're going to try this route tree. Like Rod has been talking about it all week. Like they don't run a lot of routes. I mean, it's just a bunch of go routes, a few slants. Like they don't attack the middle.
No.
And you've got one of the best big wide receivers in football with A.J. Brown. Like, why would you not throw the ball to him over the middle? There's just certain things about this offense. And while I understand the frustration, and we'll hear from Jason Kelce here in a second, because he made a great point about kind of, you know, when he was in Philadelphia and some of the internal scuttlebutt and things that were going on back and forth. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a competitive business, right? And if you're A.J. Brown, and look, we've always known wide receivers are divas. It doesn't matter. That's always been a stereotype. It's been a knock on wide receivers because guess what? In order for them to do their thing, they need the ball thrown. They are dependent upon their quarterback. And right now, if you're A.J. Brown, you're dependent upon a Jalen Hurts who is awful against zone coverage, and they're seeing lots of it.
Well, I know I'm dependent on extra credit. It's coming up next. I'm ready to see Kevin and Fred fall on their face. Let's see if they're any smarter than they were the last time we did a little extra credit. Coming up next on FanFreedom.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Real quick, I've got Khaki Kevin Walker. I got Trevor the Creator in the mix. My man's looking real lumberjackish right now. Since you two are our go-to hockey nerds at night, give us an update on your Dallas Stars.
Well, right now we're tied 2-2. There was an announcement today that Jake Oettinger was not going to be in the lineup, so he's not going to be in net tonight.
Are we sure?
I'm 99%. A very trusted Twitter guy posted it, so that's what I'm saying. That's one of those things. So I don't know
if playing?
They're playing their Canucks, Vancouver Canucks. So I don't know if
you're gonna hate this.
Is he in goal?
Jake Oettinger is in the net.
Then good. Then that's great. I was watching Thursday Night Football and I just got in.
I would get rid of your Twitter source.
Mm. Yeah, you need.
I don't know if you guys. Well, you know, everybody don't know.
Him and Oettinger.
Apparently, Stoney doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
I guess not. I'm gonna have to shoot him a message.
All right. Yeah. Well, enough of Trevor.
Enough of Stoney. Wow.
Hockey information. Let's cue the intro because it's time to see who's smarter between Khaki Kevin and Trevor Beck.
Ring the bell.
Fred
and Blake.
It's a merry-go-round, you dumb dumbass. Do you need the dumb in front of the dumbass?
I did his homework. Like, not like he bullied me. He just kind of redumbed it.
Okay.
I've never even heard that word in my life.
But as my own personal form of punishment, I figured out how you're going to earn that extra credit.
All right, let's go. Here we go. Indeed. It's going to be a little bit of a different extra credit here today. We've got Kevin Walker versus Trevor Beck. And here is the topics: hockey, hockey brands, and just brands in general. Now, Trevor?
Okay.
What's so confusing?
Why is X or Twitter showing me things from a day and a half ago? I'm reading a tweet from a day and a half ago.
Does it have the date on the tweet?
It did. But this is what I'm saying.
That's bad media literacy.
I'm like one hour, 2 hours, 30 minutes ago, and then a day and a half ago? Yeah. What are we doing showing
feeds
from a day
Elon
and a half ago?
Turn
Elon,
on your
if
notifications,
you're listening, 877-881-1053.
I don't need notifications from every single person.
That's right.
You know? I've got Kevin turned on, I got Blake turned on, and I got Fred turned on.
Let's
and
go.
Jacob.
Okay,
and a
go ahead and mark that.
I'm not turned on, but all right.
Go ahead and mark.
I'm turned on now.
Go ahead and mark the mess out of that.
I'm really turned on now.
Okay, before this segment gets canceled, let's get into extra credit. And the way we're going to do it today might not be Kevin Walker's favorite, but we're not taking turns today. I've got some pretty simple questions. I'm going to ask the question and just blurt out the answer. If you say it at the same time, we'll go to a bonus round. Okay? I don't think you will.
Or either that, or why don't we just, whoever the opposite person is, whether you or me reading, the other person decides who got it.
Yeah, okay. So, like I said, there is no turns. So don't sit back. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah.
I'm looking in the pimp cup.
You better lock
in. No. Can you explain it more? I'm looking to my right.
Look at me. You need to be looking at Kevin. Yeah.
Just blurt out the answer. If you know the answer before I even finish reading it, that's fine. But once you get it wrong, you're done for the round. You don't
get
to keep guessing over and over.
So no multiple choice answers here.
I'm going to get multiple choice, but if you get it before the multiple choice,
or when you hear the old multiple choice that you like.
Here we go. And Fred has, you have the quiz as well?
I do as well.
Question number one. How many teams are in the NHL?
30.
Wrong.
I'm going to wait on multiple choice here. That was 28, what I was
30, 31, 32.
28, 31.
Or 32.
Oh, we can't read them again.
28.
Right. 28, I would say.
Well, they're both wrong.
Both
it's 32
wrong.
With the Seattle Kraken. Okay, next question. How many teams did Wayne Gretzky – what team
calm down.
Did Wayne Gretzky play for when he scored his famous 802nd goal?
The Kings.
Hey!
Correct. Trevor. Fred, you want to go? All right. Which NHL team has the longest Stanley Cup drought? Sabres, Canucks, Maple Leafs, Coyotes.
Maple Leafs.
That was pretty
that
on
was pretty
time.
Close. Okay, here we go.
We'll go to the next one.
What is the standard penalty for high sticking if there's no injury?
2 minutes.
2-0. Where is the Hockey Hall of Fame located?
Ontario, Canada.
Not even a choice.
I was just giving a guess.
I believe it's in Toronto.
Oh,
Jesus. That's what they.
A man's dog walking him over here. Okay.
You got it.
What is the length of an NHL overtime period during the regular season?
5 minutes.
Kevin, you want to join us, or are you just going to kind of sit back
there? He thinks he's going to ask the next question.
I'm actually going to say most of these that he said. He just beat me to it.
Okay. You still waiting for internet?
Very funny.
That was good. That was a callback, too. Who holds the record for most goals in a single season?
Wayne Gretzky.
You were thinking about that, weren't you?
No, actually,
I was on the tip of your tongue. I
was going to ask you to repeat the question.
Okay, 5-0. Who holds the record? Oh, excuse me, I just read the one. What team drafted Austin Matthews?
Maple Leafs.
Dear God.
Okay, Fred?
Which NHL team joined the league most recently?
Kraken.
You know, he did say that like 30 seconds ago.
I just want to throw this out here. Every time you do an extra credit, it is against somebody that is at a better subject than what you put me against.
That's really actually fair. Like, I might not know.
Like, I got excited because Fred was like, or Blake was like, we're going to do brands. And I was like, okay, brands. I can do brands.
We're going to get this. This is the last hockey question right here.
Go to the brands. He's already up 10-0.
Okay. Which company uses the slogan, just do it?
Nike.
Kevin Walker gets on the board. Which brand's logo is a bitten apple?
Macintosh. Apple.
Kevin Walker.
Hang on.
He said Macintosh, which is not correct.
Doesn't count.
How does that not count?
That's not what they're called.
Next question. Next question.
You try to get fancy. You try to get fancy.
There will be no rebuttal. You'll be in contempt.
We're going to put a pin in that one.
You'll be in contempt. You'll be in contempt. You hush.
Wrong. It's not Macintosh.
Which company owns the fast food chain Chipotle?
Kellogg's.
Yum Brands, McDonald's, Independent Standalone, Jubilee.
I'm going to go Jubilee.
Incorrect.
Jollibee?
By the way,
Jollibee.
No, Apple was never called Macintosh. Trevor.
Next question. Answer it. Let's go, Trevor. Yum Brands, McDonald's, Independent Standalone, or Jubilee, whatever.
Well, I made a guess.
Okay, so you both got it wrong.
Yeah.
The correct answer was Independent.
All right. Which brand uses the slogan, I'm loving it?
McDonald's.
It is 8-2, by the way.
Hey, how much McDonald's have you had since we moved to
the None.
Which company Seriously. Makes the PlayStation?
None.
PlayStation, Sony.
Correct answer goes to Trevor.
Said you said PlayStation,
Sony. I said Sony.
That's as if I said Macintosh.
No, he said PlayStation.
I said PlayStation, Sony. I said PlayStation, Sony.
Well, the correct answer is Sony, not PlayStation Sony. So it is 9.
You guys
nine.
Ever want an interview from Sony? I know their accountant, very good friend.
Okay. Them, so. Well, let's see if you continue to get this right.
Like high up accountant. Like what
is
top
the, is he Annette tonight?
What is the He's world's not. Most valuable brand by revenue and valuation as of 2024-2025?
Amazon.
Make a little bit of a comeback.
All right. Starbucks originated in what U.S. city?
Seattle.
Okay, it sounds like you both.
What?
Oh, wow.
Listen, just because he's down I gave doesn't mean it that we get
okay. to Kevin.
About to give him now something else
which,
here, too.
Whoa, huh? whoa. which brand slogan is the quicker picker upper?
Bounty. Swiffer.
Wrong, Kevin. It's Bounty.
It's Bounty.
5-4. Which tech CEO founded SpaceX?
Elon Musk.
Couldn't get it out.
Which car brand is the luxury division of Toyota?
Lexus?
Hey! Ball knower over here.
I'm going to go with the hockey-branded question. Which company makes the majority of NHL player sticks today?
Ooh.
Bauer? Nike? Reebok? Franklin?
Bauer.
Bauer is correct.
Yeah, you're right. Bauer.
Mm-hmm. Kevin has got 5 now. It is 12-5. Trevor's up. Which brand is most associated with elite goalie pads?
It's like Bauer. CCN or something like that.
CCN?
Wow.
Wait, what'd you say?
CCN or CCM, yeah, something like that.
All right. Yeah.
True Hockey is best known for what specialty? Is it gloves, helmets, skates and sticks, or jerseys?
Jerseys.
Trevor's correct.
But that's a weird question.
I did not understand that at all.
True is the brand.
Oh, True. Okay.
True. T-R-U-E.
I was going to say Pond Hockey.
Not the rap
group. True Hockey.
Nobody gets that.
What is the official helmet brand for most NHL players?
CCM, I think.
Incorrect.
What are the answer choices?
Warrior, Bauer, Puma, Nike.
Bauer?
Yeah.
Damn, what a poll.
I'm trying to speed run these to see if Kevin can come back. Which brand is known for the Ripcord Trigger Stick line? CCM, Bauer, True, or Warrior?
Warrior.
Incorrect.
Bauer.
Incorrect.
You guys are terrible.
CCM.
That's correct, but you're not getting that because you guys are right,
which brand owns Warrior Hockey? Is it A, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, or VF Corp?
VF
Adidas.
Corp.
What'd you say?
Adidas.
Wrong.
It's New Balance. Which puck manufacturer provides the NHL official game pucks? Bauer, In Glass Co., CCM, or Warrior?
CCM.
Incorrect. He got CCM.
Hey, it was working.
In Glass or whatever that one is.
Yeah, okay. Right. Which company became the NHL's on-ice jersey provider in 2024?
Reebok.
Incorrect.
Reebok.
Fanatics.
Listen, I have a Reebok jersey. I have a Reebok jersey.
What a poll. What's the score?
15-8.
Trevor?
A lot Trevor. To a little.
Okay, that's over. All right, well.
I enjoyed it, though.
Another solid edition of Extra Credit in the books. You guys have been phenomenal. All right, coming up next, final hour of the program. We got Fatties on the phone. Are the phones working tonight?
We will find out.
Okay, we're going to find out at 10:20. We will reset the show when we come back. I'd love to tell you what the score to the Bills-Texans game is, but I see nothing but fish. It's Fan After Dark.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.